Jesus was tired this week, wasn't he? Sort of what it sounded like. Jesus went off to a faraway region, far away from people who had been following him around, looking for the Savior of Israel. He went into a house and he didn't want anyone to know he was there. Ever had a feeling like that? I think most of us have. I think most of us can relate to that every once in a while anyway. Stuff just gets you down sometimes. Might be anything. Health, maybe a week full of doctor's appointments. Work might be exhausting. Some kind of weird family dynamics that just don't make sense or that eat away at us. Even the demands of church. Some committee, some job, cleaning the bathroom, polishing the staff, painting the walls. There's always days when nothing would be better than to sit at home with your cup of tea or go for a nice lunch with a friend where you get to laugh and laugh till your stomach hurts. Seems to me Jesus was having one of those days. Try as he might to have a peaceful cup of coffee to put his feet up in this faraway land where he goes, in wanders this woman. Her daughter is sick. She has been sick for a while. There is no solution available. It might have been that on a different day, Jesus would have cared. But this day, it wasn't happening. Did you notice how rude he was? She begs him to help. And he says, I am not throwing the children's bread to the dogs. In this story, she and her daughter, her little girl, she and her people were the dogs. I can't imagine. You can't imagine, I'm sure. None of us can. Which of us would think it was okay to say something like that to anyone, never mind Jesus saying it? It's crazy. It is not the Jesus we know. The Jesus we know is someone who cares and who heals and who loves. Right, we know that. It's unthinkable. But somehow, this Gentile woman, this Syrophoenician woman, we don't know what that means, but there it is, this determined mom who knows what it is to have to fight for whatever it is she needs. She knows what it is to have to fight for those things. Somehow, this woman who Jesus has just met has the presence of mind to argue, to talk back. She argued with quick wit and determination. She took his image of her people as dogs and turned it around and made him realize what he was doing. You may think that me and my people are dogs, she said, almost said. But even the dogs under the tables eat the children's crumbs. Now, I can imagine Jesus taking a step back at her nerve, maybe tilting his head with a bit of admiration for this woman he thought he could brush off on a bad day, maybe even appreciating someone who had the wit and the determination that he himself had on other days. Just think about it. Even the dogs under the tables eat the children's crumbs. Are you saying that we are lower than dogs? And the unspoken answer, of course, is no. Now that someone has asked him to think about it, now that this person from a group that he would have been used to hearing insulted all of his life has challenged those perspectives, now that this woman has spoken, Jesus, who had just learned something, said, for that, your daughter is healed. He was given a lesson, that's what I'm saying, that it isn't okay to dismiss people. Now, I will admit, it's kind of weird standing up here and reading the gospel like that, right? People don't like the idea that Jesus learned something, for one thing. We certainly don't like the idea that there was an insult, but people sometimes also don't like the idea that he learned something. For some people, it's blasphemy. Jesus doesn't need to learn anything. Fair enough. Jesus is God, right? But if we take his being human seriously, if Jesus is human like us, and that is also what our tradition teaches us, then he does need to kind of be human, right? He can be set back on his heels at some point and learn what someone had to teach him. make him shake his head and wonder in an instant what he was thinking, especially when it is someone who comes from a different place in life entirely. He could learn a lot from her, you would think, wouldn't you? They don't have anything to do with each other. There would be a lot to learn. Any of us can admit that there is plenty in life that we have learned. We just have to think about it. When I was at camp a couple weeks ago, when I wasn't here, we looked at this passage in an adult study. We talked about it, how we all have things to learn, about how if we think about what we have changed our minds about in the last 20 years, if you just think about it, I asked people that, and they kind of sat back and laughed and shook their heads, laughing about all the things they knew 20 years ago without a doubt. This is the way it is. The things they thought they knew about people, but somehow in those 20 years, their minds had changed. And then it seemed obvious that although some of those changes of mind might have happened gradually, sometimes that's the way it happens, right? You kind of bit by bit come to a realization. I think lots of them actually happen all at once when you hear something, when someone says something to you like that. All at once, you see something you did not have a clue about before. For us, it's an experience that's familiar. And I think that that's what was happening in the gospel. Her wise comeback, her forceful comeback, and Jesus went, "Yes, your daughter is healed." I think for us, this beginning of September, it's a good time to hear this story. Jesus healing this woman's little daughter, and also Jesus opening the ears of the man who is deaf. In a sense, Jesus is being opened, that's what it sounds like, opened to a new way himself, a new way of being, to those who were not part of his group. That's kind of what he's being open to. It's not all about his own Jewish people. It's not. At Vestry, the last meeting, we were talking about accessibility, how to make sure that people are heard. I think in the spring we were kind of hearing on the news that it was new legislation is coming out and stuff, and so we're working on that. How to make sure people in general are able to participate in whatever community groups they want to participate in. We don't think of ourselves quite as a community group, but we are, right? How to make sure everyone's able to get in the building. It isn't just ramps and signs. It's also about thinking about things from someone else's perspective. If you walked into this church and you hadn't been going here for, I don't know, however many years, 5 or 10 or 50, what would you think? It's an interesting question. It's about having the chance, like Jesus did, to hear what any of our actions sound like to someone who is not part of whatever group. Having the chance to hear in plain speech that it seems like some people don't deserve crumbs under the table. I think we can recognize that. We haven't looked at this part of the story today either, this bit I'm going to refer to now, but when it says, Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, I don't usually use this particular Bible I was using this day, but it had a map on that page, and I just happened to look at the map. And what it meant was, it would be like saying, Jesus went to the White Shell from Winnipeg via Brandon. You're kind of going, what? So anyway, he walked 25 miles out of the way and 25 miles back to go to this place. In the wrong direction. He walked 25 miles or more in the wrong direction to tell us today something that he learned from that woman who was not one of his people. I thought that was interesting. And also to tell us what he told that man who could not hear. Be opened. It's kind of a cool phrase, isn't it? I mean, it can have all sorts of meanings. Of course, if you're deaf, he opened his ears. But in Scripture all the time, opening your ears means opening your heart as well. So anyway, this fall, as we begin our life again as a parish, we really are being told the same thing. Be opened. We don't know what that will look like, but it's a word from Jesus. Be opened. as much as the way we have done things in our families or our clubs maybe or our schools or here for years, the ways that we've done them is good. It isn't the end either. Like Jesus himself, his disciples are continually called to a larger vision, one that aims to embrace people who would be the outsider, the stranger, even the enemy. I know that we have all done that in many ways, in lots of areas of life, but we have fallen short. We have done that too. Like Jesus this day, we all have our blind spots, and if he can admit it, we can too. The process is to keep learning and stretching and consider where it is that that Syrophoenician woman's love of her daughter and her challenge are taking us, where they're taking us. For those of us who are kind of used to coming here and feeling very at home, maybe it's good to remember that it's not always the case for everyone, and that we do not have a particular privilege to claim with God. We all come as beggars. So we can just stop and think about that a bit. God's table is so much bigger than we can imagine. We can think about that. And if any of us at this point in life happen to identify more easily with that Syrophoenician woman who was just looking for crumbs, really, that's what she said, we need to hear, any of us, all of us, that Jesus does not leave any of us in a state of beggarliness. He seats us at the table and calls us beloved children. That's how it ends, right? Even crumbs from the table would be enough, but Jesus has given more than enough. He sets an abundant, life-giving feast for all of us. All of us. This day, then, this fall, we feast on the fall harvest that's coming in, and we consider how it is that everyone, all of us, can know that this table is a feast that is for all. Amen.